The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday's edition, where we're focusing on three races from Pontefract and one from Windsor. Remember, Racing Radio will have all the action covered with Darren Owen, John Babb and Sean Quinn giving their tips and analysis on the cars from Ayr, Brighton, Pontefract and Windsor. So make sure you tune in from 1:50pm. Before that though, we're here to look at four key races on the Daily Racing Podcast with myself, Michael Wood and Mick Norton. Good afternoon, Mick. How are you?
Yes, good. Thanks, Michael.
And before we get into tomorrow's action, let's have a look at the Derby, where it was a very interesting affair with Hazand holding off the challenger from the favourite US Army Ranger and Idaho to win the Derby. What did you make to the performance?
I think it was. It's going to turn out to be a very good Derby. It always looked as if it was going to be won this year by a late developing horse who never did too much on the racetrack at two. I think that's the trend now. I don't think the top 2-year-olds are going to win these sort of races in the future. They're more programmed for a 3-year-old career, aren't they? And Hazand fit that bill exactly. I think they were lucky that they got the rain. Not necessarily that he's a soft ground performer, but it did inconvenience one or two of them. But full credit to him after pulling a shoe off on the way over, having to have his foot poulticed until just over an hour before the race, and full marks to Jim Bulger, who sent his farrier over to reshoe him, which was a very delicate operation. And obviously his foot's probably still a bit tender. Once the shoe back on, fine, never felt a thing. Didn't handle the track well, but still showed an amazing turn of foot. And he was getting niggled early on. Even going up the hill, Pat was just not sat still. He wasn't running away with him. I thought it was an outstanding performance, an outstanding Derby. I think the US Army Ranger performed for such an inexperienced horse with loads of credit in second. Looks a penalty kick for the Eclipse to me. And Idaho, considering that he's got, I mean, he was second to Hazand in the Bally Sachs, which, good to see the Bally Sachs back as a good trial. It did lose a bit of its luster when they started to target the Derrinstown as the Irish Derby trial rather than the Bally Sachs. But Bally Sachs has always been a good race for an improving 3-year-old to go for. Idaho's brother Harland Real, he was very much similar to Idaho in that he always was sweated up pre-race, so maybe it's just a trait of his. But I thought he showed the next best turn of foot in the race, the way he swept past the leaders to pick it up. But Hazand was just far too good for them all. And he was actually going away at the line. It looked as if US Army Ranger was going to get there, then Hazand found more when he got to his girths. Well, if he even got to his girths, maybe it's just his quarters. Good race, though, which will throw up plenty of good horses.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mick. Especially, he was 60-40, Hazand, before the race to actually even make it. So it was
exactly
quite
yeah.
the show. Also at Epsom, though, we had the Coronation Cup, where Postponed showed just why he is one of the world's leading middle-distance performers with a very impressive display. What did you make of his
Wait, say win? That again. Considering that it brought together the winners of 8 Group 1s in 5 different countries and the only 2 horses in training ever to have been Golden Horn. It was, and the way he did it, he was just in a different league, wasn't he? We hadn't seen him since winning the Shemar Classic in Dubai, where he was very impressive over there. There were slight concerns about the ground, but he just floated over it. And, well, I suppose they'd go back for his King George and then after that, wherever they want to go, really. The best older horse at this trip in training. Without a shadow of a doubt.
And obviously he beat Found Well, what a, second.
Yeah, what a star she is, and she always gives it her best shot found. And, you know, she's the only one from out the pack who could even chase down the pacemaker. And once again, she's run with plenty of credit. Found, of course, one of the only two horses ever to beat Golden Horn.
And also a notable one to mention is that Roseburg, who finished third.
Yeah, well, he's been gutted, you know, since we last saw him, and you know, attached to pacemaking duties now. But he's a very good horse, bags of ability in his own right. And I thought Jack Mitchell did a good job on him, set a good pace from the start, slowed it up mid-div, and then had kept plenty in the tank so he could quicken away from them, so he just didn't get swallowed up. He hadn't gone too fast early, so he got swallowed up, and he kept on really well to the line, Rosberg. Great performance. And it does not do hold back the form. Do not think that for 1 second. It was just a well-judged front-running ride from Jack Mitchell, who took plenty of advantage of the leeway that they gave him early on by filling his lungs up at the top of the hill after doing the donkey work up it, so that he could freewheel down the hill and still left enough in the tank. So don't think it was a fluke performance. It was not. It was just a well-judged ride from the front, taking advantage of the start that they give him. They always say in races, you can give weight, but you can't give start. And we saw later on, earlier on in the dash, Kimberella walked out the stalls, got rid of show ahead 10 times more than he lost at the start. So, yeah, no, don't for a minute think that Rosberg's holding the form back, but because he isn't.
Well, Mick, let's take a look at Monday's action. We're going to begin with the 7 o'clock at Windsor. We've got a handicap here over 1 mile, 2 furlongs and 7 yards. 9 runners in this one, Mick. What's caught your eye?
Well, the nap of the day goes here. Oasis Spear, trained by Chris Wall. George Baker takes the ride. Had some very decent three-year-old form in the book prior to winning his maiden at Wolverhampton on his final start. And I thought he ran a cracking race on his reappearance at Ascot, and dear me, I was struggling for a danger. Possibly the stable companion, the filly Sahara, who again should benefit from her Doncaster run where she'd been off for 7 months. She was a very consistent three-year-old. Didn't exactly progress through her three-year-old ranks, but always ran to a similar standard. And to be honest, she'll only have to run to a similar standard here to chase home Oasis Spear. Hard to make a solid case for any of the rest, but keep an eye on Starwatch, who probably is about at his peak now and loves it here at Ripon. He might reward each way odds, but Oasis Spear for me the best bet of the day.
Oasis, your nap in that 7 o'clock at Windsor.
Yeah.
Got 3 races now to preview at Pontefract, where it should be a very exciting evening of racing. We'll begin with the 7:15 at Pontefract, and this one is quite intriguing on paper. It's over 2 miles, 1 furlong and 22 yards, 12 runners, so plenty to choose from. Mm. What's your best bet here, Mick?
Yeah, I love these staying races at Pontefract. They're usually, you know, the same horses turn up for them. We've got a bit of a regular here in the shape of Tuscan Gold, trained by Mickey Hammond. Interested jockey booking Hannigan up for the first time. He was quite well backed on his seasonal reappearance, and he finished, that was over this track, when he was a good second to Almost Gemini, who reopposes. Probably didn't stay the 2¾ back here the time after that, and the ground would be against him at Ripon the time after that. So he's got his ground, he's back at his favourite track, and I did speak to Craig Forsyth about this, and I just said, I thought he looked as though he'd been teed up for another crack. He said, I agree, he said, but because he's only within a pound of his last winning, of his mark that he won it last year. But Craig says Mickey Hammond's horses aren't just exactly belting them out of the park at the moment. So that would be a slight concern, because Mickey's got a strong hand in this. Along with Tuscan Gold, he's got Waterclock, who's only having his fourth start for Mickey Hammond. He's been in decent form hurdling without winning. He's close to his winning mark, and he's run well on both starts here. And he's... I think he gives Mickey Hammond a strong hand, but I do take on board what Craig said about the stable's form. Of the rest, we mentioned Almost Gemini. He's up £7 for that defeat of Tuscan Gold, which means that Tuscan Gold is now £4 better off for 1¾ lengths. If he is on his A game, he ought to turn it round. But Almost Gemini, that was some performance after such a long... it wasn't that long off because he'd been hurdling, but I mean, a long time off the flat, and it is a different discipline. And it looks as though there's more to come from him. And if Tuscan Gold does underperform, it might be that Almost Gemini can back up his win of a couple of months ago. So it's a tough one, depending on the well-being of Tuscan Gold and Water Clock. But probably, in the circumstances, I have to stay with Almost Gemini.
So Almost Gemini for you in that 7.15 at Pontefract. Well, let's move on to the 7.45. We've got a sprint handicap over 6 furlongs. 10 runners here, Mick. What's caught your eye?
Yeah, good little race this. The Mr. Wolf Sprint Handicap was a regular winner here. And this one is for the 3-year-olds over the 6th. And I like the look of My Amigo here. I know he's got top weight, but it's quite a compressed handicap. It went up £5 for that impressive Weatherby win, but still on the up. Should relish this track, I think. And I think, importantly, he has run well in Class 3 company, which he did on his reappearance run, which teed him up for the win last time. And a few of these are tipping their toe into Class 3, and we know he's proven in it, which is a big positive for me. So that's why My Amigo gets the vote. Alif, trained by Charlie Hills, Paul Hannigan taking the ride in the Hamdan colours. And the cap has probably taken no chances with his mark of 84 after that Lingfield maiden win. But the third did win his maiden at Windsor next time out. So it just gave the form some substance. So 84 may not be over estimating him. And the other interesting one, and the danger for me to My Amigo, is the Commendator, trained by David Barron. Graham Gibbons taking the ride. Spent his two-year-old season with John Gosden, won on his final start for them, but made a winning turf debut, second start for his current yard at Nottingham last time, and that race is working out quite well. The form looks fairly strong. And he is up 8 and up from Class 5, but he may well be up to it. But he is up 8 and up to 2 grades. That's why he's not getting the vote. I'm going to stay with the proven Class 3 form of My Amigo.
So My Amigo catching your eye in the 7.45 at Pontefract. Let's move on to our final race of the podcast. It's the 8.15 at Pontefract. We've got a handicap over 1 mile, 2 furlongs and 6 yards. 8 runners in this one, Mick. What would be your best bet here?
Yeah, I think Sabre Squadron's the one they've all got to beat. He looks to have a very fair mark of 80 for his handicap debut. And you know, the visual impression that he made at Leicester last month when he was, he looked a really, you know, decent horse. I don't think the step up in trip is going to be a problem. And he's got a sort of late developing 3-year-old pedigree, if you like, being a son of Lope de Vega. I think there's plenty more to come from him. Jimmy Fortune had a good Epsom. He's on board for Peter Chappell Higham. The consistent Daisy Beer, probably, well, she does make the shortlist. She's still improving. But she was beaten off a £2 low mark in a Class 4 at Haydock last time, and she may be vulnerable to more lightly raced improvers such as Sabre Squadron, etc. C-Pal, worthy of a mention, respectable form and should improve as a 3-year-old, and in a race where it's difficult to make strong cases for too many of them, C-Pal makes up the shortlist, but it does look booked for Sabre Squadron to me.
Great stuff, Mick. Well, can you please recap your selections for the 4 races on this podcast, please?
Yeah, very. I feel quite strongly about the 4, actually. The only one I'm a bit dubious about is the Stairs, depending on, was Craig slightly put the spanner in the works, saying that Mickey Hammonds weren't running that that well. But anyway, 7 o'clock in Windsor, the best bet of the night for me. Oasis Spear, trained by Chris Wall, looks to have very little to beat, and the danger is probably the stable companion, Sahara. In that aforementioned Stairs, Tuscan Gold and Almost Gemini are closely matched on their running back in April, with Craig's comments still ringing in my ears. I'm going to have to stay with Almost Gemini to back up at Ponty. The Mr. Wolf, the 7.45, that looks a good opportunity for My Amigo to add to his Weatherby win last month. Proven in Class 3 and definitely going forward at a rate of knots. And in the 8.15, Sabre Squadron makes his handicap debut off an attractive looking mark of 80 for Peter Chappell-Higham, Jimmy Fortune in the saddle. And I think the step up in trip will eke out further improvement.
Well, Mick, thank you for your thoughts on those 4 races on today's podcast. Remember, Racing Radio will have all the action covered on Monday with Darren Owen, John Babb and Sean Quinn giving their tips and analysis on the cards from Ayr, Brighton, Pontefract and Windsor. So make sure you tune in from 1:50 p.m. Mick, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Michael.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.